Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I started in this how-to series last week. I started on how to unwrap your spiritual gift. And I'm not going to read all the verses that I read on last week out of chapter 4. But I do need to read a few because this is the second half of the introduction. And then, Lord willing, I'll be dealing specifically with some of the spiritual gifts. Some of them that you may have never heard preached about. And I don't know why that we shun away from them. The only thing is that sometimes when we look at things, then we begin to see where we are and we see where God wants us to be. And we find out that we didn't mean to, but maybe we weren't lining up with His Word the way that we should be. And I think that this needs to be preached in every church in America. If we don't have people that start realizing and discovering their gift that Christ has given to them when they were born again, He gave at least one gift to every person. And if we don't discover what that gift is, and if we don't develop that gift and use that gift for the glory of God, then the entire body of Christ suffers because of it. And we're going to look at a few of those things. But right now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I mentioned last week, if you remember, that one of our problems in the church, not this church, but in the church, is that many people are not being used mightily by God because they simply do not know their place in the family of God. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Or they're just trying different things to see what works. And hopefully something will stick out or something will seem like that's the place that I belong. But God doesn't intend for it to be that way. He makes it very clear. In fact, He tells us in verse 7 and 8 how the gifts were delivered. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after that He resurrected, He gave them the measure of the gift of Christ. That's to all believers. And also He gave gifts unto men in verse 8. So it's those gifts that we're interested in. If you recall, I mentioned last week, Christ delivered them by grace. So they are grace gifts. Christ at His birth received gifts. After His resurrection, Christ gave gifts. And when we are born again, we receive a birth gift. And the Roman word for gift is a birthday gift. So when we're born again, He already has in His mind where that we will fit into the body of Christ and what that we're to do. Everybody has a grace gift. I want every one of you to look right here and say this. I have a gift. Now, there's more to it than just saying it. The question is, what is your gift? And if we're not careful, we will try to do what God has not gifted us to do and refuse to do what He has gifted us to do. So just because we have a gift, we have to pray for knowledge, spiritual wisdom, to unwrap the gift that God has given. I mentioned you don't earn them, you don't choose them. They're bestowed by through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're spiritual gifts. They're supernatural gifts. They're not talents. Don't ever confuse talents with gifts. Talents are natural. Gifts are supernatural. And we're dealing with the spiritual gifts that are supernatural. So Christ delivered the gifts. Then if you remember, I dealt a lot with the gifts that are described in Scripture. Not only from this passage that we're looking at today, but also I dealt with Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and named off a large number of the gifts that He's given to men. While we probably won't take the time in this series to study each one of those for time's sake, but I do want to hit on some high points in this series to help you understand what your gift is, how to use that, and also to make sure we don't abuse that gift. So today we come down to the fact that the gifts must be developed. If He gives us these gifts, and they're delivered by Christ, and He describes these gifts in the Word of God, we have to find out how that these gifts are developed in us. As they're developed, we begin to understand what they are. Well, He gives us the answer to that. Beginning with verse 11, He talks about the gifts. And in verse 11, He tells us how the gifts are developed and how He has chosen a plan to develop these gifts in the body of Christ. In verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means completion. Not that you're going to be a perfect person all the time. I think if you look at that word and interpret it incorrectly, I think you'll miss the whole meaning. He said, I'm giving you this to complete your spiritual walk with me. And he said, for the perfecting of the saints. The second thing it does is for the work of the ministry. So there's ministry that results from gifts. And also for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, underline the word till. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto. Underline the word unto. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Hey, let me pause right here. If you have a problem getting in and staying in, you need to hear this series. It's not God's will for us to be in and out, up and down. Moving right along. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, let's stop reading there because that's a lot to digest in just one brief sermon. But let's think about how the Lord chose to develop these gifts. Well, he chose to develop these gifts by giving the church guides, spiritual guides. Now, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the guide in all of our lives. But also to help us along the way, he's given us people to guide us. People with experience. People that he's endued with wisdom and knowledge to give us the right direction. First, he gave foundational guides. The apostles and the prophets. Why do I call them foundational guides? Because when the early church was established and these gifts were first being discovered, there was a lot of confusion about it. And believe me, you, if there was confusion in the early church, there's even more confusion today in the church. But yet the Lord said, I'm going to find a way to help people overcome that confusion. So he gave apostles. Apostles were eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ. They had seen him perform the miracles and seen him perform the works. And they were endued with such great power that when they would go into the most wicked of places. Now bear in mind, when the apostles were first starting to minister, there wasn't a church on every corner. The devil had rule and reign because of the teaching of the Romans in particular and the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was controlled by false gods. There were false idols everywhere. And because of the power of Satan to move through those things, it took a supernatural endowment from God. God raised up these apostles. Why did he have to have them? Well, for any of you that's ever been in a court, you know there is no better witness than an eyewitness. Paul was the apostle, the Bible says, that was born out of due season. Why was he born out of due season? He wasn't one of the 12 that Jesus originally called. And there's a good example within itself. You remember the disciples after that Jesus had called 12 and Judas went out and hanged himself. They thought, well, we've got a slot. Let's fill it. And they cast lots. I'm feeling kind of lonely up here today. They cast lots. They gambled. Hey, you don't draw straws to find your gift. You don't cast lots to find your gift. You don't manipulate the gifts. This is not a gambling thing. God's in control of all of it. So they cast lots. But you never read of that disciple again that they chose because he was chosen by them. God said, you don't have anything to do with it. You can't make somebody something other than what God wants them to be. Just because they look like it and you think they're good at it. You know what you need to do? You need to quit looking at people when they give a good testimony and say, you know what? I think you've been called to preach. You don't have a clue if they're called to preach. You're encouraging them to do the wrong thing. Or look at them and say, you know what? I think you'd be a good leader in this position. You don't know those things. I don't know those things. And by the way, sometimes people look at the certain offices and in these gifts, they go along and they claim those gifts and really they're never sure that they've ever been cut out for us. Do us all a favor. If you are not abiding in your calling, forsake what you're doing in the flesh and do what God wants you to do. I couldn't preach because my dad was a preacher. I had to preach because God called me to preach. And if God didn't call me to preach, God wouldn't lay his hand on me when I preach. And I'd do it in the flesh and it all come to naught. So he gave apostles and prophets. What prophets? These are the prophets he's referring to, not as merely people that prophesy the future, but he was referring to the prophets that will be responsible for fulfilling the end view. Do you know your Bible started with prophecy? And your Bible ends with prophecy. See, a lot of people know Revelation. John was prophesying. He was writing down what God had told him to write down, but people forget. Where do we get Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. That has to be prophecy. Why? I wasn't there. Were you there? No man was there because man hadn't been formed yet. He's writing under the prophetic hand of God. There wasn't anybody around. When God spoke into nothingness and made something out of nothing, there was nobody around to refute it or rebuke it because man hadn't been made. God looked at it all and said, it is good. It's God's creation. But how do we know that God created it all? Now do yourself a favor. Don't try to explain God. You're either going to have to believe his word for what it says. And the Bible simply says, God created. That's enough for me. I don't need a second opinion. I don't need somebody's vote on it. I don't care what they teach otherwise. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. How do you know that? Because the Spirit of the living God moved on Moses, a prophet. Even Jesus, the Bible says, when they looked at him, they thought he was a prophet likened unto Moses. They looked back at Moses as a great prophet. And God gave him the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And he wrote them under the prophetic hand of God and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's the prophets that he's talking about. Now those, if you come to me and you say, well, God's moved on me with a spirit of prophecy to write more of the Bible. Wrong. We got how it started. We got how it ends. We don't need any more. That's why all these religions that men and women supposedly get a vision to write something and record something that's added to your Bible, or they say your Bible's not enough. That's false. That's a false prophet. Because he's got us from Genesis to the end. A new heaven and a new earth. So that's foundational. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. No, I believe that that's referring to all the apostles from that time forward. Well, you're wrong. Not wrong because I said it, but let's look back. Let's see. Turn back to chapter 2 and verse 20. Same book, chapter 2, verse 20. You ready for this? Take a deep breath. You know, he's talking about we're no more strangers, foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and household of God. So he's talking about the household of God. Look in verse 20. And what does it say? And are built upon the what? Foundation of who? The apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I don't know how you can get it any more plain than that. So you got to understand how it's, if you don't get how it started, if it doesn't start right, then nothing else will work right. These apostles that he was talking about in the beginning were the foundation. Now we have 2,000 years that have been built on top of that. If you're building a multi-story building, you don't put the foundation in. Build 3 floors and put another foundation in. I better move on. I'm getting a lot of blank stares. They were the foundational gifts that he gave. And he's saying that what they did, we built upon. Because that's when the word of God was recorded. Through these apostles, through these prophets. That's why what he did then, he'll do now. Because it's foundational to us. If you don't believe that is the foundation of all of it, you can't move forward. But he didn't. That means he didn't leave you without. Because then along come evangelists. Evangelists spread the good news. The tidings of good news. Now years ago they thought that the evangelist was just a separate calling and that only evangelists won lost people to Christ. That's not true either. We all have an obligation to bring lost people to Christ. We need to invite people to church and more importantly invite them to the Lord. If they don't want to come to our church, that's fine. Invite them to church somewhere. But through all of that, invite them to Christ. They need to hear about the Lord. Everything that we do, it should have an ultimate goal of presenting Jesus Christ. But even though that exists, there are also people that are greatly gifted in the area of evangelism. There's no doubt about it. We've seen, for those of us that's along a few years now, we have seen the great evangelist that God has raised up. Now let me take a moment here. Let me tell you why the church is going to go, not necessarily this church, but the church in America is going to go the wrong way quick. And let me tell you why. Because they have eliminated evangelists. Major denominations no longer feel a need for evangelists. Almost every major denomination, when I was a boy growing up, they had staff evangelists or state evangelists or national evangelists that their whole denomination would get behind and promote that cause of evangelism. Our church still supports evangelists, and we're not ashamed to say that we support evangelists because we believe that the gospel needs to go out all across the country and all around the world, and we pray that God will bless those that are evangelizing others and reaching others. And there's such a need for evangelists, yet I'm not saying that one doesn't exist, but I'm pretty well acquainted with a lot of the major Christian colleges and universities. To my knowledge, if there is one, I hope that you'll come and correct me and let me know. But to my knowledge, I don't know of one that gives a degree in evangelism now. I don't know of a seminary that offers a degree in evangelism. You may have courses, but they just totally disregarded this calling. We have evangelists that come into our church here that tell me, I don't know what I'm going to do in another 4 or 5 years. Our churches have quit having revivals, and they don't want to have revivals, and they don't recognize the call of evangelism. But God said he uses evangelists to present the gospel so that people can be born again to receive these grace gifts. If you don't win them, if they're not born again, they can't go to the next step of developing their gift. So then he calls also pastors and teachers. They're the ones that is the shepherd to the flock. They're the ones that do the dirty work that I'm doing today and in weeks to come that'll tell you some things that'll be totally opposite of what you've heard. Just like right now, some of you have come from denominations. You just think that the word apostle is just a word you throw out there. It's not a word you throw out there. You've got to understand the place and the position of each one of these callings of God. And there are pastors. And by the way, just because a pastor has the ability to teach, you can't say that you're a pastor because you teach instead of preach. Pastors can still preach. They can also teach. But I hear a lot of times people say, well, they're a good preacher, but they're not a good pastor. Well, if they're a good preacher, they're a good pastor. That goes against the Word of God. If they're preaching the Word of God, you should be learning something when they preach. It's not merely the emotional side of it or the style of it. That's not what I'm saying. But pastors should be able to preach. And pastors should be able to also teach. And then there's some that have that gift of teaching. And in a little while, we'll go out into our Sunday school class, and there we'll have teachers that are there. Now, why does he use all of these? For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Because your gift, you need to hear this today. Your gift is not for enjoyment. Your gift is for employment. Too many people with spiritual gifts are like children on their first job. They want a job and they love their job until their job becomes a job. Really what they want is the paycheck. They don't want the work that goes with it. Well, that'd be a perfect world to live in, wouldn't it? Somebody's got to do something sometime. So it does you no good to unwrap your gift if you don't know I'm supposed to use my gift. So what he's given is he's given all of these people to help you develop that gift. When you discover it, you've got to develop it. So he's given these people to help you develop it because there is a goal for your gift. What is the goal of the gift? Well, the goal's definitely there because in verse 13 I had you underline two words, till and unto. That speaks of direction and completion. He's saying there's a goal for each one of these gifts to help you not only have the gift, but to use your gift intelligently. And three things lie in that. I'll give them to you quick. Verse 13, he gives that because of unity of faith. So there is the goal is to bring unity in Christ. If anyone tells you they have a spiritual gift that brings discord, it's not a spiritual gift. Now, the reason that so many people don't preach on this is because they think that it will divide a church. But in reality, it should bring unity to a church. And it should unify us in Christ because we're all parts of the body. And we're all a different part of the body. And God uses us all fitly framed together, compacted together. We are not glued together. And we are not cemented together. We are flexible as a body. Each one has a different purpose, a different goal, a different gift, if you will, or maybe more than one gift. But the ultimate goal is to bring unity in Christ. If you don't have unity in Christ, just unity by itself doesn't mean anything. Just because everybody's here doesn't mean we're in unity. You can put all the corpses in the same cemetery, but you won't have a resurrection. You have to have unity in Christ. Not only unity, but you also find that he talks about maturity in verse 13. He talks about the perfect man maturing us. These are sermons for maturity purpose. And then he talks about conformity because he wants us to be and understand the fullness of Christ. Well, all of that sounds good, but how do we sum it up? Well, when you have these gifts, and once that you've discovered these gifts and you start developing these gifts, you have to display them. They have to be demonstrated. Well, how are the gifts demonstrated? Well, I just told you. Look in verse 14. Number one, here's the proof that the gifts are working in a church and in our lives when these goals are met. Number one, we will grow in maturity. Verse 14, no more children. If you're still a spiritual babe and a crybaby, grow up. You're a crybaby because you haven't found your gift. Any baby will cry until you put the passy in its mouth. Moving right along. Well, what do you mean no more children? Well, that means that we're not unstable. When you're not a child anymore in Christ, you're not unstable. When you're first born again, you got to have somebody patting you on the back and encouraging you along. I remember one time I went to visit an individual. And I said, where have you been? Why aren't you in church? Well, I'm upset. I said, why are you upset? He said, well, you used to come and drink coffee and eat donuts with me once or twice a week. And he said, you don't do that anymore. I said, how long have you been saved? 20 years. I said, you're a baby. That's a crybaby. You ought not have to have the preacher there to make you come to church all the time. I can't call and check on every single one. If you've been saved 10 years, 15 years, you ought to have enough common spiritual sense about you to know I'm not going to be effective if I don't go to church, I don't pray, I don't read my Bible, I'm going to be unstable. Second of all, you're not undiscerning. You realize you can find out what is of a cult and what is not. What is of God and what is not. So first, you're growing in maturity. Second of all, you're growing in unity in verse 15. How do we tell that? How's the unity come from growing in our unity? By the expressing of our love and exalting the Lordship of Christ, because it says speaking the truth in love. Here it is. Speaking the truth in love. Then the end of that says, even the head, even Christ. So there's two tests, the tongue test and the throne test. What you speak, do you speak it in love? Just because it's truth doesn't mean that it's truth in love. Thank you. I appreciate both amens. Then there's the throne test. If it doesn't exalt Christ in what we say, if what I preach and what I say, if it lifts me up, or if it is just a constant plea to you to try to prop me up and tell me how wonderful I am, I don't care about you telling me how wonderful I am. I care more that you tell me about how wonderful Jesus is. Tell me how good God has been to you this week. Tell me how much you love Jesus. Tell me how much you praise Jesus. When we get back to the place that we lift Him up and see Him for who He is, that's when we'll see the difference. And then also, you'll tell because it will grow numerically. Verse 16. What does verse 16 tell us? Well, the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making, what's the next word? Increase. Increase what? Of the body. It'll grow in balance. The body will grow in balance because it's fitly joined. It'll not only grow in balance, but it'll also grow in cooperation because of the effectual working. But also it grows numerically. Now that doesn't mean that if a pastor is in a church with a community with 100 people, that they're going to have a church of 1,000. But a church that is operating and discovering their spiritual gifts and developing them and deploying them, that does mean the church ought to grow. A preacher came to me the other day and I said, how's your church? And he said, well, he said, compared to others, not. I said, that's not what I asked you. How's your church? He said, well, preacher, he said, when I started there a year and a half ago, we had 18. He said, we're averaging 100. I said, praise God. Spiritually, you're doing what's right. Now, we can sit around and tell ourselves we've got these spiritual gifts. But if we're not bringing people to Christ and bringing people into the church, then we've got something that we're not using. So if you have it and you don't use it, it doesn't do you any good. The object of the spiritual gifts is not ecstasy in a worship service. It is employment for us to go out and say, God has given me this gift to be a witness to others. I don't care what it is. If it's the gift of giving, don't be embarrassed that you're giving to win people to Christ. Everything that we're doing should be to bring people to Christ. Oh, I've got so many other things to tell you. You have to be fitly framed together. If you're a kidney, don't try to be a liver. Jim was up praying for his son today. His son needs a lung transplant. Somebody donating a heart wouldn't do him any good right now. He needs lungs. That's what he needs. And what's happening in the church world is we have people that are not operating in the gift that God has given to them. Don't confuse titles with spiritual gifts. You can never have a title in the church and be more effective in your spiritual gifts than people that have titles. I'm not talking about a job. That's where you get confused. I'm looking for a place. What you're really saying is I'm looking for a job. And while you're looking for a job, God's already gifted you to do certain things that nobody else can do. And all you have to do is do it. The greatest gift God gives any of us is salvation. No greater gift than that. Wouldn't it be great for someone to come today and be born again and experience a grace gift in their life and watch them use it for the glory of God? Well, I think I've got you caught up on why. The goals of all of this. The goals of all of this is to mature all of us. Don't automatically assume because you've been on the way for 50 years that you're using your spiritual gift. I know people that's been on the way 60 years and they've been in the way 55 of it. Because they don't operate in their spiritual gifts. We can't do what God has not gifted us to do. Find it. Unwrap it. Develop it. And then use the intelligence that God gives us to use it for His glory at the perfect time. The Lord needs you. We need you. The church needs you. But we not only need you, we need you to be what God has gifted you to be. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to do something that you're not gifted to do. What would I do, preacher, if I said that I had a gift and it wasn't the right one? Repent of it and quit it. And find the one that you ought to be doing. I have more admiration for someone like that than someone that would go on trying to say, I've got a gift and I'm using it falsely. Because then you're living a lie. You become hypocritical. None of us wants to be hypocritical in what we're doing. We want to be sincere in what we're doing. So my goal, my prayer for this church in this series is for each one of us to unwrap the gift. Find out what it is. And use it. I close with this. I seldom use my family in an illustration. But I felt compelled to do this. Candy and I occasionally get a day with the grandkids. We love grandkid days. And we're trying more as we get older to take a day just for each one of them individually and just make it their special day, their special time. So back a few years ago, we'd had one of those days with Grayson, and Candy and I took Grayson to Toys R Us. Somebody say amen right there. Now, we know nothing about the toys now. I mean, you know, since our kid, we don't know what kids like, but they'll sure tell you. We had one of those days with Amelia this week, and when she'd asked me things and I couldn't give her the answer, and she wanted to buy something, she said, it's okay, Mommy buy it for me. We got to playing a game, and I didn't know how to play it, and she said, Daddy can play it. We had Grayson. We took him to Toys R Us, and we had no idea that it was Lego Day. And they had these tables lined up. I mean, long lines and bins all in them. And different part numbers on those bins. 001, AA, BB, you get the idea. So, the idea is that they hand you a paper, and your goal is to find all of those pieces, those parts, and then it gives you instructions to put those parts together. So I'm looking around, trying to find each one. I get about halfway done, and I look down, and Grayson's finished. I said, how did you do that? He said, Poppy, I followed the instructions. Now bear in mind, he was only that big then. But he made an old man look silly. And I thought, that's how you do it. We need to go back to when we were born again and just follow the instructions. Just follow the instructions and it'll be all right.